CJLO in Concordia University sits on the traditional territory of the Mohawk or the Ganegahaga people. The island called Montreal is known as Dadake in the language of Ganegaha and has historically been a meeting place for other indigenous nations, including the Algonquin people.
For CJLO News, I'm Donald Roberge. As of May, the Société des Alcools du Québec, or SAQ, will be increasing its prices. While wines that cost $15 or less will not be affected, wines and spirits above that price limit will be moderately raised, with greater increases applying to more expensive products. The SAQ says that the adjustment is needed in order to compensate for rising operating costs. The Provincial Crown Corporation is also in the midst of negotiating with its suppliers, so is not in a position to be specific about its new prices, though they did say that the average bottle would be raised by 0.6%, whether it be for a $20 bottle of wine or a $45 bottle of spirits. The STM has announced that work has begun at the Atwater Metro Station in order to create elevator access for the public. The city's transit corporation says that the project will see two elevators installed by December, a benefit to those with mobility issues and with luggage, as well as for the young and the elderly. Two shafts had already been built between 2019 and 2021 when the station's waterproofing membrane was being replaced. With approximately 5.9 million boardings annually, the Atwater station is the sixth busiest in the metro network. It will also be the 11th station on the Green Line to have elevator access, with the STM hoping to have all 41 stations accessible by 2030. Montreal housing committees are busy educating renters on their rights. Katie Brady has more.
Crise du logement, là, c'est pas des statistiques, c'est des vies humaines qui sont brisées.
In a press conference Tuesday, Quebec Solidaire spokesperson Gabriel Nadeau-Dubois appealed to members of the CAQ. He spoke about a family with four young children in Shawinigan facing eviction.
Je lance un appel très sérieux aux députés caquistes. Allez parler à la ministre de l'Habitation. Allez lui raconter à Mme Duranceau les histoires comme celle-là. Demandez-lui d'avoir un sursaut de lucidité, et on est dans les derniers milles de l'adoption du projet de loi, de bonifier son projet de loi pour qu'on agisse pour vrai sur la crise du logement.
Meanwhile, housing advocates are busy educating renters in Montreal about their rights. Christine Plowitsky is with Legis Action NDG, a local housing organization which has been hosting rent increase workshops at different venues around the community.
So I think the trickiest thing, or I guess the most common misconception, is that a rent increase is just like a fixed percentage that's fixed by the rental board, when actually the percentages that the rental board publishes is just the base of what a reasonable rent increase might be. And there are all sorts of other expenses that the landlord can claim on top of that base percentage. So for example, this year, if heating isn't included in the rent, you would be looking at a 4% increase, which is a very, very high increase, kind of not seen in the last 30 years, kind of high rent increase.
Plowitsky said the information about rent increases on the Régie website can be confusing, but tenants have other resources available to them, like public records and online tools from the Committee Logement.
there are some other pieces of information that are publicly available, such as municipal taxes and school taxes. So if people can do a calculation of what they should be expecting on their own, they can do that even before they receive the rent increase itself. So with having a number in mind means that you can interpret what the landlord is asking for better. Tenants always have the right to refuse their rent increase, but sometimes it's not in their best interest if when they go to court, the judge is going to increase their rent even higher than the landlord might be asking for. So that's kind of the trade-off.
Plowitzki emphasized a tenant's right to refuse or negotiate a rent increase.
And landlords really try to pressure tenants into signing things very quickly, trying to say that it's the only option. Most of the time on rent increase notices, there isn't an option that you can refuse the rent increase and stay in the apartment. They'll usually only show accept the rent increase or move out if you refuse the rent increase. But tenants should know that they always have the right to refuse the rent increase. And
the next rent increase workshop is Friday, February 16th at 2 p.m. at the Côte Saint-Luc Library. You can find information to register for the workshops at the Legis Action NDG Facebook page. In Montreal for CJLO, I'm Katie Brady.
For more, visit CJLO 1690 AM podcasts on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
You're listening to Maiden Voyage on CJLO 1690 AM in Montreal. My name is Stephanie.
And I'm Helen.
And welcome to our Valentine's Day Come Down episode.
Yes.
Tell us more about that, Helen.
I don't know. I mean, what is there to say? Not every Valentine's Day goes the right way. You know, a lot of pressure, a lot of expectations, kind of like in a New Year's Eve type of way, right? So, you know, lots of emotions the next day.
Did you have any emotions today?
I mean, no, I was okay.
That's good.
Mine were great. Mine was great. I had a good time.
But for all of our listeners out there who had a horrible Valentine's Day, this show is for you.
It is for you. I'm thinking of you.
So sit back, relax, have some leftover candy, and feel.
Yeah, let the feelings out.
Take a sleeping pill and sleep back well, and I'll have to go through what I go through. I guess I should take Prozac right and just smile all night at somebody new, somebody not too bright but sweet and kind, who would try to get you off my mind. I could leave this agony behind, which is just what I do.
you don't exist, and I'll have to dream of what I dream of. I could listen to all my friends and go out again and pretend it's enough. Or I could make a career of being blue. I could dress in black and read camo, smoke clove cigarettes and drink vermouth like I was 17.
Starting off the show with some classic, wouldn't necessarily say breakup tune, but Love in Turmoil, also mm-hmm. potentially Stalker, Abuser, You Don't Own which Me by Leslie
say,
Gore.
I was going to say, which one of these songs are you actually talking about? Because
no, Stephen Merritt is just a sad,
yeah,
sad man.
I was like, therapy, vermouth,
yeah,
cigarettes?
No, Helen was just saying how much she identifies with that song. So she's like, wait a minute. Am
I did those things.
No, don't worry. Don't worry, Helen. I'm not calling you an abuser live on air. Tune in. Maiden Voyage. Helen is canceled.
I wouldn't say, to me, when I first heard this song, I was like, yeah. It's kind of empowering. You're like,
now
yeah,
which one are we talking about?
Leslie.
You Don't Know Me.
Okay, you Don't Know Leslie Me. Yeah.
Okay.
Gore.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, like, don't tell me what to do. Like, just like, lay off. You know what I mean? Mm. And I was like, it's just kind of a little bit empowering. So if you're feeling kind of crappy. Mm.
Well, and I think it is actually about like the, like fame and recording. Like, anyways.
Yeah. And it's had obviously a comeback, the song, for reasons the internet might
TikTok
know.
Trends, baby.
And the Calvin Klein ad.
Yes. The Calvin Klein ad. Google that if you haven't watched it and let us know what you think. 514-848-7471.
I really want those calls, people.
Actually, it's true. If you had not tuned into the last bit of Hooked on Sonics, we were saying that if you had any stories about Valentine's Day gone wrong, or you have any feelings that you're stewing on that you want to get off your chest, feel free to call into the show. We can help you. We can be the agony aunts for the hour. 514-848-7471 again. Or if you have the direct line to the Maiden Voyage fan club, feel free to text us your questions, comments, concerns, and we will
address them,
handle that for you. We then heard one of my favorite songs of all time, I Don't Want to Get Over You by the Magnetic Fields, off of their amazing album, 69 Love Songs, which is indeed 69 Love Songs.
It is.
It was a three volume concept album compromised of 69 Love Songs.
Yes.
Released in 1999 by Merge Records, and still hits.
It does.
Still hits every time.
Yeah.
It's sad, sad man. Love you. And yes, as Helen was saying at the start, is that she very much identifies with that song because we too like to drink vermouth and stew and yearn.
I don't like the clove cigarettes anymore, but there was a time.
There was a time. You're like, I'm in Paris. I'm smoking clove cigarettes.
It's like, nim, nim, nim. They're disgusting, but nim, nim, nim.
Yeah. And it really is just such a particular feeling to be like, I don't even want to try to move on. I just want to sit here and stew
and pine.
Yeah. And I don't want to.
Yeah, it's a different phase of the feeling, and it's like you get to be you with that and get to really feel it any way you want.
Exactly. And actually, I really feel like this is a good segue into a song that you had put. Thank you, Helen. You'd put this for me, and it was like when we were talking about the concept of this show, Helen was playing me some of the songs, and I was like, it was just on in the car, actually. She hadn't even started with saying that this is what we were listening to. And I was like, Helen, you're listening to the Bella Depression song from the seminal film Twilight New Moon.
The seminal film, yes. Of course.
And what song could that be but anything other than Possibility?
Oh, yeah, I thought you were going to try saying it in the same way, but
there's a possibility. Ooh, add that to our karaoke jam. Mm. Well, no, I made a rhyme. Did you notice?
You did, actually.
Thank you.
Also, I think it would be a bad karaoke song. but that's just my opinion.
It's all in the performance.
Right. Actually, fair. You're right. The theatrics. I hadn't thought about that. Yeah.
So we will go to a word from our sponsors, and then we will play you the iconic cinema song Possibility by Licky Lee on Maiden Voyage. You're listening to CJ.
Hello.
Oh, fuck. 1690 AM.
TD and Production Nuit d'Afrique present Women of the World Raise Their Voices, five special concert evenings from February 1st to March 8th. Don't miss the grand premiere, Lidl's Cameroonian Slam, Brazilian songwriter Bia Ferreira, Lorraine Klaassen's 40-year career anniversary, The Roots Daughters Sound System, and choral virtuoso Sona Jabarte. Discover the full program on festivalnuitdafrique.com.
Horrid, you ghastly, and I love you true. So here are some presents I'm sending to you.
If you consider yourself a goblin, ghost, or a ghoul, then you should listen to Deadbeats on Fridays from 3 to 4 with your ghost at the most, me, Pretty Dead Boy. I play most things emo and alternative, and I promise it's just to die for.
You're the coolest little monster that ever put the spook on me.
There's a possibility. There's a possibility. So tell me when you hear my heart stop.
Oh,
You are listening to Maiden Voyage on CJLO 1690 AM.
Some love songs.
We've got some love songs for you here. Some yearning, some mournful, some confused for our Valentine's Day hangover episode. So if you too had a Valentine's Day hangover today, we are glad that you are here with us listening to some of these moody tunes.
Yeah, yeah.
You just heard New Love Cassette by Angel Olsen, a Helen fave.
Mm-hmm.
Do you love that full album, Helen?
I do. I think that's... I was playing that a lot during the early COVID times, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, definitely a favorite.
Yeah, All Mirrors came out in 2019.
Yeah, so timing was great.
Yeah, right before everything. Someone I've seen in concert a few times and always puts on a great show. Before that, you heard Tarmac by Blondshell off of her debut EP, self-titled Blondshell. Great, great album. Mm-hmm. And before that, we had Anyone Who Knows What Love Is by Irma Thomas.
Yeah, which is, I find, a very beautiful song. And then you kind of start to listen to the lyrics. And maybe at the time that this song came out, maybe that would have landed a little differently, I think. But yeah, there's a little bit of some, I don't know.
It's a bit pathetic.
Yeah, it's a little like, to quote the internet, like a... You know, like a weird attachment relationship style.
Which,
vibe.
Yes, brings us to a topic we said last week that we were going to discuss this week.
Yeah.
Attachment styles.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good times. Yes, yes, yes. When we were here with the actual trained
psychologist.
Exactly.
Aquarius.
Yeah. Aquarius psychologist.
My sister.
Age of Aquarius.
Maiden Voyage guest. First guest of 2024.
True. Very true. Yeah.
Yes. So, Helen, you did do a sneak peek that you are not a securely attached person.
Oh, I'm definitely not a securely attached person. I am not. I am a aware of myself.
What would you classify yourself as?
Oh, God. Mixed.
Mixed.
Which is worst, I think, than all of them.
Of both anxious and avoidant?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very fun. It's a fun time.
Yeah.
But very aware of my patterns. And so that's helpful.
That is the first step, is recognition. So they say.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So the one that it's like sounds like an AA kind of the first step is. But yeah, no, it's definitely helpful to just be able to understand your behavior.
Yeah. I do feel like attachment style therapy has really exploded in the past 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like no one was talking about it before then. And then I don't know if it like came out during COVID or also because I was going through a breakup. And so I was thinking about this stuff, but I feel like I had never heard of it before. And then suddenly everybody was like, are you anxious? Are you secure?
I wonder if it had to do with like people just being really stuck together for so long.
Honestly, probably. Actually, I just started watching the show Couples Therapy.
Oh my God.
And started with season 3, which was a bit chaotic. Yes. Okay.
I had a really like, wow.
Where did you start? Did you start with season 1?
I don't know what season we started with. All I know is that I have its
thoughts and feelings.
Yes. There was one person that I wanted to punch really hard, but.
What was their name?
I don't know. He was a very like.
Mao?
Yes.
Yeah, that's season 1. So at the end of this season, yeah, please, if you have a crave, you can watch Couples Therapy and you can chat with us about it. But at the end of it, there was the season finale was a COVID episode because everything shut down. And it was actually really interesting. One, because it's like an hour and a half of just like the episodes are usually 30 minutes. So this is like a full hour and a half. And one, it was the first like thing of television or media that actually portrayed the pandemic, which is still so weird to like wrap your head around. I remember still being in lockdown and seeing shows that had been produced and they were saying dates like they were like police procedurals and nobody's met like they're pretending the pandemic doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And they just made the choice to like pretend that the pandemic didn't exist.
Yeah.
So it was really interesting to see like, oh, that happened and people had to deal with that. And then they're like going through the process of doing the therapy in their homes on video call with Orna.
Wow.
And yes, the attachment. Yeah, they definitely were It was a spicy episode because everybody's like so close together.
And I think, you know, the origins, if I'm not mistaken, it's all like based on inner child. So essentially that's kind of where it comes from. So maybe, yeah, relating all back to, you know, having to take a hard look at yourself while stuck with your partner.
Well, and then you how know. You're like relating to each other or potentially not relating to each other by someone avoiding you. Literally, and then being like, why can I never connect with you? And it's because you're avoiding me.
Yeah.
But actually, kind of like on that note, it's kind of like that other very trendy way of talking about relationships of the five love languages.
Yes, which was a previous thing.
Yes, very previous, very fun. I do think it does have its basis and like a good way to start conversations of how you want to be approached in a relationship. Yeah. However, he was a crazy Christian, and it basically is like rhetoric so that like men can be like, I just need physical touch, you know what I mean? Yeah. And then you're like, oh, that is so much creepier than the way that people were talking about it.
Yeah, I feel like all these things give you a good framework for things to be able to talk about stuff and engage with it, and that happens a lot with like psychology and things like that. And there's a lot of
can be used as an excuse instead of like, oh, this is just the way that I am.
Yeah.
Like you just have to deal with this because this is who I am. And like, instead of meeting in the middle, we're going to just.
My love language is this. And it does get kind of interesting when people kind of take the talking points, and there is, you can see that it's a superficial thing and there is no depth to it, and it is being used in a kind of manipulative way. So beware.
Beware.
Beware. You know.
Helen, my love language is receiving gifts.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. So just for next episode.
Okay.
And now the listeners have heard.
So also
I'll be
listeners
expecting a gift.
You should also know this. Mine is quality time. So
mine's not actually receiving gifts.
I like only cash money gifts.
I only take cash in the form of
prepaid Visa credit
cards. Prepaid Visa credit cards. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
otherwise, I won't think that you love me.
Wow.
I know. I'm laying it all out.
Okay, it's good.
And
to
I'm
know.
Very secure in that assessment of myself.
At least you're being upfront and honest about
exactly.
your feelings, right? Thank
so
you so
next
much.
Week, I securely feel the ability to kick you off of the show if you don't give me a prepaid Visa gift card.
I feel like that may not no longer be secure, and that's verging on some sort of narcissistic something or other. But hey, I'm not a psychologist.
Yeah,
that's the
but
other
you know
Suretsky.
Who is. Yes. Also not the band coming up.
No, also not the band coming up.
But speaking of toxic language, this song is called Love Is to Die.
Yes.
By an old school Maiden Voyage favorite, War Paint, off of their self-titled album, War Paint.
Enjoy.
You're listening to Maiden Voyage on CJLO 1690 AM.
Thank you. Hydro-Québec cherche du monde pour travailler cet été comme guide dans ses centrales et centres d'interprétation partout au Québec. Du monde qui a envie de faire partie d'une équipe énergique qui contribue à changer le monde. Du monde qui souhaite vivre une expérience inoubliable qui ouvre des portes. Tu aimes t'exprimer en public et tu cherches un emploi bien rémunéré? Joins-toi à l'équipe. Postule d'ici le 3 mars au hydroquebec.com/emploi-guide.
Our talks about movies always start out with the best of intentions. Opinions are shared, debates develop. But then things get heated, words get said. Friendships are tested, disagreements break out. This is when the smackdown happens. Join us for our next epic grudge match, Sundays at 2 p.m., Cinema Smackdown, right here on CJLO 1690 AM.
In a vacuum may seem a waste of time. It's always been just the same. No hearing or breathing, no movement, no lyrics, just nothing. A sign that leads the way. A path we cannot take. You caught me at a bad time. So why don't you piss off? Thank you.
This has been the Maiden Voyage Valentine's Day Hangover episode.
Yes. Hope you're doing okay.
Hope you're doing okay. Hang in there. Things will get better. Or they'll hit rock bottom. But then after that, usually, it can't get any worse than that.
It's feelings. Feelings change and they pass. You know, yeah. Kind of, maybe.
Just sort feel of. Your feelings.
Feel them. Feel them out before they feel you.
And make sure that you tune in to Maiden Voyage every Thursday from 6 to 7 p.m.
That's right, our own show promo.
On CJLO 1690 AM. See you next week.
share.